الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد My dear brothers and sisters and elders, we continue with our series of khutbat on reflect on the Quran. And as you know, we are doing Surah Al-Fatiha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put khair in this and to enable us to understand His kalam and to recite it with understanding, to listen to it with understanding, and to fill our hearts with muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for His Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was talking about last Jummah, we did the issue of the ayat Malik Yawmiddin. We talked about what that means. We talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rule on the Day of Judgment. And of course, the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extends before the Day of Judgment and on the Day of Judgment and after the Day of Judgment. There is no limit to the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to His kingdom. To complete that part of it, before we begin the next ayah this Jum'ah, I talked about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself before He said Malik Yawmiddin by talking about His attribute of mercy when He said Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And we mentioned the meaning of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, we mentioned why that is important and what is the meaning of introduction by that particular, by those particular attributes. My brothers and sisters, I want to remind myself and you to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything good begins with shukr. The kalam of Allah begins with shukr. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And everything in life begins with shukr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you are thankful to me, I will increase my blessings on you, in the famous ayat of Surah Ibrahim. So what do you say about your Rabb and my Rabb, who says, O my slave, you will face me on the Day of Judgment, but do not worry, because I am Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And there is nobody who is more compassionate and who is more merciful than I am. And that is why we need to reflect on these things, so that we can build a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we disobey the one who gave us everything? Ya ayyuhal insanu ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you insan, how can you deny and how can you go against your Rabb who is kareem? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith which is narrated in Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided mercy into 100 parts and He retained with Him 99 parts and He sent down to the earth one part. And through this one part, creatures deal with one another with compassion. So much so that an animal lifts its hoof over its young, lest it should hurt it. Even with the animals, the mother is careful about the young. It doesn't trample its own young. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, even to that extent, this mercy comes from that one part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down to the earth. The 99 parts of mercy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reserved for Himself, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use them on the Day of Judgment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover us with His mercy on a day when there will be no one who can cover us with mercy other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. In another hadith in At-Tirmidhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who show mercy to their fellow beings will be shown mercy by the merciful Rabb. So show mercy to those on the earth and so that the one in the heavens will show mercy to you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the appointed angels over you that the good and the bad deeds be written. And He, Jalla Jalaluhu, then showed how to write. If someone intends, listen carefully, you have not yet done the deed. If someone intends to do a good deed, but he does not do it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught the angels to write for him a full good deed, even though he didn't even do it. And if he intends to do a good deed and actually did it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for him its reward, equal from 10 to 700 times and many more without hisab. He intended to do one good deed. He did that good deed. The reward is 10 to 700 and then beyond that without hisab. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us without hisab, inshallah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if somebody intends to do a bad deed, actually decides, actually makes an intention, I will do this. Yeah, may Allah forgive us. Most of us do whatever sin we do. We do it because of forgetfulness. We do it because of, you know, default settings are wrong. You see, we live mechanical lives. We don't live thoughtful lives. And that's why I keep saying, live thoughtfully. Don't live like a robot, programmed to do something nonsense, you know, some nonsense. No, think. And here, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that if someone actually thinks and then decides, I will do this, and that is a sin. Even in that situation, he decides to do a bad deed, but he does not do it. When the time came, he did not do this deed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the angels to write a full good deed in his account. Even though he didn't do anything, he just decided, I will do something bad, and then he didn't do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write a full good deed for him. And if he intends to do a bad deed and actually does it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write for him one bad deed only. Not 10, not 700, not bighayri hisab. One only. Yeah? Rasulullah said, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says, whosoever does a good deed will have a reward 10 times like it, and I add more. And whosoever does an evil will have the punishment like it, or I will forgive him. And whosoever approaches me by one span, which is the width of your palm, I will approach him by one cubit. And whosoever approaches me by one cubit, I will approach him by one fathom. And whosoever comes to me walking, I will go to him running. And whosoever meets me with an earth load of sins without associating anybody with me, I will meet him with forgiveness like that. The earth full of sins. Now this does not mean we are not encouraging you to commit sins. We are just saying that if we happen to commit sins, then we must never lose hope in the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the things that shaitan does. Wallahi, all of us, you know, we grew up in strange times, so we do things and so on. And then at some point in time, maybe you hear something somewhere and you feel, I think I should change my life. I've been doing too much of evil. And then shaitan will say, what is the good of it doing it now? You are so old, Allah will not forgive you. There is no sense in doing all this. You should have changed long back. What is the point in changing now? You know, so shaitan puts this into, never despair of the mercy of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to forgive every single thing, provided we make tawbah, sincere tawbah, without associating any partners with Allah, without committing shirk. So there is absolutely no need to despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kufr. It is to deny an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Rahmanur Rahim, of Ghafurul Wadud. So we never despair of the mercy of Allah. We make tawbah. As soon as we realize, what does the person do? What does the muttaqi do? Immediately makes tawbah. As soon as you realize, you make tawbah. And tawbah means what? It means that you stop doing whatever wrong you were doing, and then you do not do it again. That's all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to us in Surah Az-Zumar, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ibadi, O my slaves. I always keep on saying this again and again. Reflect on the grammar of the Quran. Reflect on the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed. Allah could have said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, Ya ayyuhal mu'minun, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. All of these things have come in many places. Ya God, or even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, Ya Ibadallah. Ya Ibadi. Oh, my slaves. See the association. My slaves. The tragedy today is Allah says my slave, but the slave does not think he is a slave of Allah. Ajib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying Ibadi, but we do not say Rabbi. It's not a matter of saying Rabbi. It's a question of if you say Rabbi, and if you say Rabbi with that feeling in the heart, with that understanding, that my Rabb, I have a personal association, one-to-one with my Rabb. Nobody can come in the middle of that. Do we have this feeling? That is the meaning of Tarbiyah. That is the meaning of Islah. That is the meaning of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Ibadi, oh my slaves. Allazina asrafu ala anfusihim. Those who have transgressed against themselves. Wallahi, when we commit sin, we are not harming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can harm Allah, nobody can benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu samad. Allah is beyond anybody harming or benefiting. Allah does not need anybody. So when we do not obey Allah, who are we harming? Ourselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, oh my slaves who have transgressed against yourselves, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Inna Allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jamia. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all sins. Dhunuba jamian. Every single sin Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive for the one who makes tawbah. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives many things even without making tawbah. That's His mercy. Innahu huwa al-ghafur rahim. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, truly He is ghafur and rahim. He is oft forgiving and He is most merciful. My brothers and sisters, as they say, every pious person has a past and every sinner has a future. Yeah, somebody's quote, not mine. But that's true. And then as if this ayat was not enough, where Allah promised to forgive all sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Furqan, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَا وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, except for those who repent and believe and do righteous deeds, for those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change their sins into good deeds. And Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Inna Allah ghafurur rahim. Imagine this. Not only is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will not only forgive, but if you did 10 things wrong, I will give you the reward of 10 things. I will convert them into good deeds. There is a famous story about Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. When this ayat was revealed, Sayyidina Umar came and announced and he said, I am the best of you. So the people said, how can you make such a statement? You know, everybody is trying his best to do something good and so on, and you are making this claim, I am the best of you. What is the dalil? He said, did you not see what Allah has revealed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He will convert the evil into good deeds. And He says, there is no one who did more evil than me. Among all of you, I did the most evil. So now I have the most good deeds. Again, that is not encouragement to do evil and then wait for the... No. The point is that for those who repent, this is Bashara. For those who don't repent, it is a ayah which is warning for us, and say, why is it you don't repent? Because this is the encouragement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then told us in Surah Al-Fatiha, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Reflect on this ayah. First of all, the grammar of it, Iyaka, you. It is first person in front of you. It is not used for someone who is distant. It's not used for someone in some other place. Iyaka is used for somebody who is standing or sitting right in front of you. So إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Oh Allah, you I worship. You alone I worship. And who are you saying it to? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where is he? In front of you. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ is the ayah which is تَوْحِيدُ الْأُلُوهِيَةِ وَتَوْحِيدُ الرُّبُوبِيَةِ. The tawheed of ibadah and the tawheed of the rububiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If somebody said to you, describe for me Islam in one line. One line, I don't have time. In 1 second, describe for me the whole of Islam in one line. What would you say? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. This is the sum total of Islam in one line. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. Tawheed al-uluhiyah or Tawheed al-ibadah and Tawheed al-rububiyah. Tawheed is one. We separate it into parts in order to teach it, and we usually make 3 divisions. Tawheed of ibadah, Tawheed al-ibadah or uluhiyah, Tawheed al-rububiyah and Tawheed al-asma' wa-sifatillahi ta'ala. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ is Tawheed al-ibadah wa Tawheed al-rububiyah. And my understanding of Tawheed is that Tawheed al-asma' wa-sifat comprises of both of these things. There is Tawheed al-asma' wa-sifat in uluhiyah and there is Tawheed al-asma' wa-sifat in rububiyah also. I'm not doing a lecture on Tawheed. If you, those of you who are interested, can listen to the lecture series on Aqeedah which I did last year. Everything is explained that there in great detail. But just now, just to complete that statement, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ is the sum total of Tawheed, which is the soul of Islam. My brothers and sisters, how many times do we remind ourselves of this? Every time we pray. In every rakat, not only in every salah, in every rakat of every salah, we start the discussion with إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. We make this promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want you to think about this. What do you do if you go to somebody and you need a favor from that person? Right? You go to this person. Maybe there is this great king or there is this great powerful governor or president or whoever. Or maybe it's your boss. Yeah, it's difficult to relate to examples of kings and so on because mercifully we live in a kingless world. At least we live in a kingless world. Those who are living in worlds of kings have something to say about it. But even in our world we have people who have influence. Supposing you're going to this person, your boss or whoever who has influence. And you need a favor from this person. What is the first thing you need to do? You need to establish your connection with that person. So you go and say to him, Assalamu alaikum, I am so and so. Do you remember me? I am so and so's son. Or this is my wasta. Remember you, I met you in such and such a place. Remember you promised me this thing. You will establish your connection with that person. You will not simply go and stand as a stranger and say, Salaam alaikum, I need this. He says, so what? Who the hell are you? Where do you come from? Right? You need this. So what? Did I tell you I will give it to you? Why should I give you? So what do you do first? You establish your connection. You ensure that you are recognized by that individual to whom you are speaking. Yes or no? You go and ensure that you are recognized. That person now is focusing on you. And that person is focusing on you as somebody that he has a connection with. If you go to the king, what do you do? The first thing you do when you go to the king is you talk about, I am your subject. I am a citizen of your country. This is my passport. Why am I asking you? Because I am a citizen of this country. I am a citizen of India. And because of my Indian passport, if I walk into the Prime Minister's office, then I have a standing in that Prime Minister's office to say, I am a citizen of this country and you are my Prime Minister. Therefore, I can talk to you and I can ask you for something and you have to respond to me. But if I walk into the White House, if I walk into the President of America's office, I mean, out of courtesy, the man might receive me and so on and so forth. But do I have any right on the President of America? No. I'm not an American citizen. I have no right on the President of America. If the President of America, you know, offers me a triple chocolate sundae, good for him. I will happily accept it and eat it. But if he doesn't offer it to me, I can't demand it because I have no right on the President of America. But if I go to my own Prime Minister, my own President, I've got a right on them. In this world, even though you might have a right on them, they don't honor that right. I agree with you. That's a different matter. We are not talking about what they do and what they don't do. I am saying, do we have this right or not? When people went to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, as citizens of the state, the Muslim state, they went as a matter of haq. They went to a ruler who ruled over territory which was much bigger than most countries that we live in today. But they went before a ruler who understood his Rabb. They went before a ruler who understood his responsibility before his Rabb. So when they went and asked him, he recognized their right. Even when they did not ask him, he recognized their right. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was walking in the street and he saw a very old man. A very old Jewish man. And he was obviously in dire straits. He was, you know, destitute. He looked as if he had no money and so on, and he was not well. So Umar ibn al-Khattab asked him, why are you in this state? The man said, what do I do? What do you mean, why am I in this state? What can I do? I am poor. I have got nothing to... I have no support. I have no money. I am not even well. Umar ibn al-Khattab called his people and he said, how can we treat somebody when he was healthy, we benefited from his effort. Now when he is old, we discard him and we disregard him. He said, how can we do this? He says, that man has a right on me. He has a right on the Khalifatul Muslimin. He has a right on the Muslim state. He is a Jewish man. He is not even Muslim, but he has a right on the state. He immediately said, give him a pension from the Baitul Mal. He will be given money, a pension from the government. Until he dies, take care of the man because this man is our citizen. Yeah, Ajib, this is Islam, my brothers and sisters. Today we have forgotten completely. Zero. Even in our Muslim countries, we think Islam means to chop people's hands. That's it. End of Islam. Same country which has the law to chop people's hands also has interest-bearing banks which are doing great business. Which haram and which halal? Eh? Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? Not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have Sharia as your ruling law, how do you permit interest-based banks? So out of the Sharia, you pick and choose. You know, alcohol, haram. Pork, haram. Somebody steals, you chop his hand. But interest-based banks, halal. Cigarette smoking, halal. Sure, you put a notice saying cigarette smoking is haram, but you do not stop the sale of cigarettes. You do not stop the import of cigarettes. So what kind of haram is that? We need to stop fooling ourselves. And remember what we said when we stand in Salah. Iyaka na'abud wa iyaka nasta'in. What is Ibadah? Ibadah is obedience. Iyaka na'abud is not merely saying Salah. Ibadah is obedience. Ta'at is Ibadah. Ta'at is Ibadah. Uday bin Hatim radiallahu anhu, before he became Muslim, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was wearing a big cross in his around his neck. And Rasulullah ﷺ recited the ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they make their ruhban and the Christians, they make their monks and they make their priests and they worship them instead of worshipping Allah. So Uday bin Hatim radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we do not worship our monks and our priests. He said, we do not worship our monks and our priests. This is the ayat of the Quran, yes, but we don't worship them. The ayat says they worship. Min dunillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they worship them instead of worshipping Allah. And Uday bin Hatim said, I'm a Christian, we do not worship our monks and priests. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Is it not true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made some things haram and your priests and monks made them halal and you obey them? And Uday bin Hatim said, yes. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is it not true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made certain things halal, but your priests and monks, they prohibited them and you obey them? Is it not true? He said, yes. So he said, that is Ibadah. He said, that is to worship them. Because you are obeying them instead of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, ibadah is ita'at. Ibadah is ita'at. For example, Isa alayhi salam never drank alcohol. He did not eat pork. But in Christianity, both are halal. This is one of the many things that they have done in the ways in which they have changed their religion. And that is ibadah. To do that is shirk, because you brought your personal desire and introduced the personal desire into the law of Islam. Shirk is not merely to worship idols. Shirk is also to introduce your own desire and to worship the desire. And Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically called it shirk. Allah specifically called it shirk. Ara'aita man ittakhadha ilahahu hawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have you not seen those people who have taken their hawa, their desire, as ilah, as objects of worship? What is the meaning of taking something else as object of worship? It is shirk. So when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are saying, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. So the first thing I want you to reflect on is, what is it you are saying? And then I want you, and I remind myself, to reflect in our own life and say, am I lying standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because I said, oh Allah, I worship only you. Oh Allah, I ask for help only from you. Isti'ana. And then, after my salah, I ask help from others than Allah. I obey others than Allah. Obeying other than Allah means what? Means in matters where that obedience clashes with the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't get yourself, you know, into confusion. If you obey the law of the country, it does not mean that you are committing shirk. No. Because the law of the country, as long as it is not against the law of Islam, we must obey. It is fard. To obey, it is fard on the Muslim. To obey the law of the land, even if it is a non-Muslim country, it is fard on the Muslim, it is obligatory on the Muslim to obey the law of the land, as long as that law is for the general good of the public and it does not go against Islam. For example, to stop at a red light, this is fard. Islamically it is fard. Because if you jump a red light, you are causing danger for others, and that is a general benefit for everybody. Similarly, obeying the laws of the land with regard to environmental protection, with regard to crime and law and order, with regard to, for example, the preservation of wildlife. Muslims in this country, where shooting and hunting of wildlife is prohibited, Muslims today in this country think it's a matter of honor to break that law, to subvert the government, to corrupt people, to get forest department officials to go with them because they pay them bribes, and they go and hunt animals. They are committing not one, they are committing several major sins, which is shirk. That animal which they shoot is haram. The meat of that animal is haram. Because you have broken the law of the land, which did not go against the law of Islam. And the law was made for the benefit of everybody. And you went and broke the law of the land. That's why I tell people, you're so fond of shooting, go to a country where it is permitted and go and shoot. I mean, I think it is retarded to go and kill animals for nothing. But that's my personal opinion. That's not the law. The law is, go to a country where it is permitted and shoot. But if you shoot in this country, wallahi, it is haram. You are eating haram. You are committing haram. You will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You just lied before Allah, because you stood here and said, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, and you went and broke a law. People ask, should I pay income tax? Yes. Absolutely. It is haram to fudge taxes. Use tax saving methods, legal methods. But to falsify accounts is haram, because you are stealing. You are stealing. People talk about copyright. They take this from this place, take that from that place, and they quote it as if it is their own. Make no mistake. Make absolutely no mistake. It is haram, it is stealing. Have the decency to acknowledge the source. My brothers and sisters, make no mistake. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in is a covenant with Allah. It's a promise with Allah. Directly, face to face, one on one. You and I make it in every rakat of every salah. Fear Allah and fear the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in breaking that covenant. In going against that covenant. In trying to find loopholes. In trying to hunt holes to hide under and places to hide under, because you don't want to obey the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, as I said, the issue of Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Also think about the great mercy of this thing. Imagine this salah, what a beautiful thing it is. And that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the famous hadith Ibrahim, when Jibreel asked him about al-ihsan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the example of salah. And he said, أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَكُ. He said to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Him. And if you cannot see Him, to know that He sees you. Direct face to face. Imagine, you are standing there and you are saying, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You are saying, oh Allah, this is me. I worship only You. I don't ask for help from anybody other than You. Ya Allah, I obey You. I do not obey others. Ya Allah, it's me. It's me. You are my Rabb. Ya Allah, I am Your slave. Oh Allah, it's me. You are establishing your right before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask Him. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in is the preamble for the dua, which is the next ayah which will come inshallah. It's the preamble for the dua. It establishes your right to ask Allah. And therefore don't play with that right. Don't play with the right. Don't have a situation where you are saying, oh Allah, I obey only You, and the malaika who are listening and saying, ya Allah, he's a liar. Ya Allah, he's a liar. He's just saying all this here. He doesn't obey You. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you and I do long before the malaika tell Him. But I'm saying don't have the malaika as witnesses against you and me, because we say that this is, that we are saying something which we don't do. And that is the reason why in the hadith where I narrated the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a Qudsi where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to Surah Al-Fatiha in the first of these khutbas. If you recall and remember, when it comes to Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. This is between me and my slave, and for my slave is whatever he asks. This is the beauty of Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You established your right to ask Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recognized that right. And that's why I reflect on this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to us. And that's the reason why, as I said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite Surah Al-Fatiha ayah by ayah by ayah. He did not join the ayat. It's not prohibited to join the ayat, but I'm saying that the beauty of reciting the surah ayah by ayah is because of this. That this surah is a conversation. It's a conversation between you and your Rabb. You say something and your Rabb responds. I agree, we do not hear the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we know He responds. So let us try to put ourselves in that position and say, oh Allah, He said, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. And You said, this is between me and You. And for You is whatever You ask. Subhanallah. How can I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for recognizing me, for recognizing my right? Who are you? Who am I? This whole earth, and I'm not talking theology now, I'm talking astronomy. This whole earth, in terms of its size and significance, is less than a grain of sand on a beach. Because it is part of a galaxy which has billions of planets, which has billions of stars, the size of our sun and more. And that is part of a larger set of galaxies in which there are billions of galaxies like our own Milky Way. In the observable universe. Billions, not millions. the billions of galaxies like our own Milky Way, and in that Milky Way, this Earth planet has as much significance as a grain of sand on a beach. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for reasons best known to Himself, chooses to elevate us, chooses to recognize us. People ask this question, why is God bothered about us? What's the answer to that question? The answer is, ask Him when you meet Him. Why is He bothered? I don't know. I'm as foggy as you are. But I'm jolly glad that He is bothered. And that's why He sent His Kalam. And He sent His Nabi. You want to know why He is bothered? Go ask Him when you meet Him. Because you will meet Him. Of this there is no doubt. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. My brothers and sisters, I want to end with this. Inshallah, we continue in the next Jummah. Next Jummah, one Jummah, I'm not here. After that, I'm here. And inshallah, then we will continue with the rest of the this surah until we finish. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. We ask Allah to be pleased with all of you gathering here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your gathering here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all our du'as. جزاكم الله خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته